Jeremiah chapter 1, starting with verse 5. Starting with verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of God says, "The word of the Lord came to me," Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth." Let us pray. Father, speak to us today. Touch our hearts and fill us with your holy love. Amen. Her name was Mary. And from the moment that I laid eyes on Mary, I knew that I wanted to marry Mary. As the saying goes, there's something about Mary. I remember like it was yesterday, as a classroom door opened for the first time, and there stood Mary. It was though a chorus of angels followed her everywhere she went, and they only sang one note. And Mary, she didn't walk across the room, she floated across the room. Her beauty was unmistakable. She had this nice, long, Pantene Pro-V hair that just kind of danced in the air as she moved. I loved Mary, and I needed to think of a way to get Mary to love me back. Now, as a kid, believe it or not, as a kid, I was a little awkward. Some people say I'm still a little awkward. Back then, I wore big glasses. I had big, puffy hair that was all curly, and I had a high, squeaky voice. So I knew that my looks alone will not be able to win the love of Mary. So I had to come up with another plan. So at night, I would rehearse these pickup lines. And in my head, man, these pickup lines were beautiful. I would think things like, "Mary, if I could rewrite the alphabet, I'd put you and I together." Ooh, beautiful, right? Or I'd say, "Mary, is your father a thief? Because he stole the stars from the sky and he placed them in your eyes." But then when I'd see Mary the next day, I'd get all nervous and tongue twisted. And it didn't just sound as good as I had imagined. I'd come up to her and, "Mary, I know my alphabet and is you and I next to each other's?" She'd look at me, or I'd say, "Mary, your dad needs to go to jail because he stole something." And she'd look at me and shake her head. I just wasn't smooth with the ladies. After many failed attempts, I finally gave up on trying to get Mary to fall in love with me. But then one day, I got a note in my desk. I quietly opened it, and it said, "Mark, I like you. Do you like me? From Mary." I ran into the hallway, and I jumped for joy. Yes, Mary likes me back. I was all ready to write my note to her. "No, Mary, I do not like you. I love you. But then reality set in. Wait a second. Mary didn't write this note. One of my friends trying to trick me. Why would Mary like me, an awkward looking kid who can't even speak to her right? I got nothing to offer her. So I took that note and I crumpled it up, threw it in the trash. The school year passed by. I never responded to that fake note. We lost touch after that school year, because after first grade, Mary transferred to another school. So we lost touch after that. What happened? But she came back to my eighth grade graduation, and I saw her and I said, Mary, you know, when we were in first grade, I got this note saying you like me. Did you really write that? She looked at me and she said, yeah, I wrote that. And now I'm all that. And that's a fact. And she walked away. I know, huh? You know, in life, so many of us miss out on a relationship with God because we feel that we are not worthy. We see God, this powerful, this mighty, this star-breathing God, and we are in awe of Him. And we sing praises to Him and we worship Him. And maybe we are even in love with Him. But when He calls us by name and He tells us that He loves us, we don't believe Him. We don't believe Him because we don't believe that we are good enough to be loved by God. In our text in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it reads like this in the Message Bible: before I shaped you in the womb, I knew you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. But I said, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything. I'm just a boy. Just a boy. Scholars believe that Jeremiah was only 13 years old when he received this call. This call, God Himself was speaking to Jeremiah, saying, before you were even born, Jeremiah, I loved you. I made you special. And Jeremiah's response, just like ours: who? You talking to me? Me? Why? Me. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, God reaches out His hand, touches Jeremiah's mouth, and says, now I put my words into your mouth. You see, God did not call Jeremiah because of his abilities. He called Jeremiah and gave him the abilities. Today's message is entitled, Who Am I? It's a song from Casting Crowns. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you today. You can rest easy. But I'm going to read the words to you. It says, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done for me. Not because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am yours. As we conclude our series today on justification and sanctification, we are beginning to realize the fact that God loves us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father, behold what manner Sorry, I'm trying to skip back here for a second. How great is the God, or how great is the love that he has for us, that we should be called the children of God. How great is the love that God has for us, that we should be called his children. Not because of what we do, not because of who we are, but there's nothing we can do that can make God love us more. And there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. And it's at that place, and it's at that point, when the godly change begins to take place in us and the sanctification process begins. It's at the point where we realize that God loves us no matter what. No matter what. And then the change starts to happen in us. Johnny Lingo was a shrewd Polynesian businessman who came to Sarita's father to ask for her hand in marriage. Now, Sarita was by no means an attractive woman. She had straggly hair, she had bad posture, she never looked anyone in the eye. Describing her as plain would be a compliment. Yet Johnny Lingo loved this woman with all his heart. And as the bargaining begins between Johnny Lingo and Sarita's dad, the other women in the village begin to brag about how many cows their husbands gave their fathers for their hand in marriage. For the plain woman, one or two cows was the going rate. For the somewhat attractive women, they could get about three cows. And for the beautiful woman, the fathers would receive four or even five cows. Now, because Johnny Lingo was known to all as a smart businessman who always got the best deal, the villagers knew that Sarita was only going to get one cow. So Sarita's father makes his first offer. He says, "Johnny, I will give you my daughter for three cows." The villagers laugh. "Three cows? Are you serious? For her?" Even Johnny's father, or even Sarita's father, knew that three cows was way too much to ask. But Johnny Lingo wasn't laughing. "Three cows are many cows," he said. "But that's not enough for my Sarita." He says, "Sir, I would like to offer you eight cows for your daughter." Eight cows! That had never been offered to anyone before. The villager was over laughing harder than ever. And Sarita's father quickly took the deal. Johnny and Sarita were soon married, and they left for a few weeks on their honeymoon. Upon their return, the villagers were stunned. And they asked, "Who is that beautiful woman that's with Johnny Lingo? Is that really Sarita?" Her face was glowing. She was smiling. She was standing up straight. She looked beautiful because she was beautiful. Her father was angry. "Johnny, you should give me 10 cows for my beautiful daughter." One of the village elders came to Johnny one evening and asked, "Johnny, how did you know she was going to be this beautiful?" Johnny's answer was simple. He said, "Do you ever think what it means to a woman to know that her husband had settled on the lowest price for which she can be bought? And then later when the women talk, they boast of what their husbands paid for them. One says, 'I was paid three cows.' And another says, 'Maybe even I was paid five cows.' But how do you think the woman feels that was only bought for one cow?" He says, "You see, before, Sarita thought that she was worthless. And now she believes She's worth something because she knows that she is an 8-cow wife. When we realize that God loves us even in our ugly, wretched, and sinful state, when the words of Romans 5:8 begin to sink in, that God demonstrates his love for us like this, while we were still sinful, he died for us. When we realize the amazing price that he paid up there on that cross for our lives, something begins to happen inside of us. God begins to change us. We begin to see ourselves differently. We begin to act differently. We begin to love differently. Not because of who we are, but because of what God has done for us. Now that may be beautiful words to some, but to others it still doesn't seem right. God, you know me too well. You know how far I am from you. You know how many times I've cheated on you, how many times I've turned my back on you. There's no way that you can love me. There's no way that you can change me, God. I am lost. But then God says to you, my son, my daughter, my child, don't ever, ever forget. Adam was a failure. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem and a temper. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Rahab and Mary Magdalene were prostitutes. Jeremiah was too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus, well, he was dead. And if God can love them, then God can most certainly love us. And if God can do amazing and wonderful things through them, then God can do amazing and wonderful things through us. I'd like to leave you with the words of a song. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt that it was hardly worth its while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Well, it sure ain't much, but it's all we got left, so I guess we ought to sell it too. Now, who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more, we'll be through. And then he cried, one. Give me $1, who'll make it two? Only $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice, that's a good price. But who's gonna bid for me? Raise up your hand, don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four, just $1 more to bid on this old violin? Well, the air was hot. The people stood around as the sun was setting low. From the back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward, picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin, and he tightened up the strings. And he played out a melody pure and sweet. Sweet as the angels sing. And then the music stopped. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What is my bid for this old violin?" And then he held it up with a bow. And then he cried, "One, give me 1,000. Who make it 2? Only 2,000. Who make it 3? 3,000 twice? Well, that's a good price. Who's gonna bid for me?" And the people cried out, "What made the change? We don't understand." And the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, "It was the touch of the master's hand." Family, are you ready for something amazing to happen? Are you ready for a revival to start within you and to fill this church and to fill this community and to fill the world with the love of God? God is in love with you, and we don't even know it. Before you were even born, he loved you. He made you with a special purpose. He bought you with a price, and now he's reaching out his hand to touch your life and to clean us up and to make us the beautiful person that we were meant to be. And this is his letter to you today. My dear child, I love you. Do you love me? What is our response going to be?
To the land. I pledge allegiance to the land.
You've got to remember that it wasn't always this way. I mean, my dad could even pray in school. Of course, they took that away from him, and then it became incorrect for us to believe in the Bible. And after that, they just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But son, I hope that you're never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know which choice you're going to make. Because I know that Jesus lives inside of you. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. And take care of your mom. And remember that God is the Father of the fatherless.